Getting there on time just isn't good enough. Traffic and weather on the 10s with Wills and Snyder in the morning on WTAM 1100, Cleveland's news radio.
Bill Wills with Matt Grant at the Deal Box. Watch him on Channel 3 and each morning here on Will's Ways to Save. Yesterday we had a great box of toys for under $30. This morning you've got one of the season's top DIY steal. Tell me about this.
Yeah, I'm really, really excited about this. So for those of us that are looking to keep up on the property, doing a little bit of painting, drywall work, whatever, or just trying to see what's going on. And more importantly, if you have dark areas of your home, I'm really excited about a work light system that I found today. So first of all, the entire work light system is under $30. Second of all, it's one of the brightest ones money can buy. So this will actually lower your home energy bill while illuminating any dark areas of your property.
And that is one heck of a deal then you've got, huh?
Yeah, it's an LED work light, 1,200 lumens, so really, really bright. You get a sealed cast aluminum housing. It is waterproof, it's weatherproof, and you get up to 50,000 hours of LED bulb life. It works. You can prop it down, use it in a garage, a man cave, a she shed. And the really nice thing about this light, which is ultra-portable, weighing in at just under 2 pounds, you prop it up, you illuminate whatever it is. You're not dealing with a heavy halogen work light or anything that gets too hot to handle.
Right.
This stays cool, just like your savings. Usually retails for about $65. Found it for under $30.
Great bargain. The Deal Boss, Matt Granite, Channel 3's Morning News, Will's Ways to Save. He's tracked it down. Just go to WTAM.com, keyword save. Watch him on 3 this morning, back here same time tomorrow with something for your feet. Thanks, Matt.
Awesome.
It's another Walnut Wednesday at Perk Park and Michael Diemer, Downtown Cleveland Alliance. You guys put this thing together, and it's really become a great summertime, springtime edition downtown. Right, Michael?
Yeah, Walnut Wednesday has really become a downtown tradition, and we kicked it off a couple weeks ago. It's going to run all the way through the summer, Wednesdays, 11 a.m. to 1:30 p.m. at Perk Plaza, right in the heart of the 912 district. And it's really turned into Cleveland's premier food truck event. We have 20 food trucks every week. You know, 1,500 to 2,000 people come out to enjoy great weather, great food, and always great tunes. This Wednesday, we've got DJ Mimo that'll be providing the music, and we have great musical acts every week. So I hope folks come out, check us out at Walnut Wednesday, 11 a.m. to 1:30 p.m. On Wednesday, and join us throughout the summer.
Live or work near Perk Plaza, Chester Commons, get there a few blocks away, get out and take a walk, and take a few people with you, and just enjoy the food trucks and the music. And watch out, sometimes you can't keep Diemer away from the turntables. He may roll some tunes as well while you're there to check out Walnut Wednesday, 11 to 1:30 today. Michael, thank you, pal.
Thank you, Bill. Appreciate it.
Mike Snyder Sports Mornings, 15 and 45 pass. Mike.
And it's game 5 tonight in Boston, Bill, and we'll take a closer look at that in a moment. First off, it was a wonderful night for the Indians at Wrigley Field.
A swing and a drive, headed to deep right field, away, back, and gone. Jose Ramirez puts it in the basket above the ivy and above the wall in right. His 14th home run of the season. A three-run blast.
And that was just the beginning. Indians would score 10 runs when they combined in the third, fourth, and fifth innings, and they just cruised to a 10-1 win. Also a big night for Yonder Alonso. 3 hits, 3 runs batted in. Trevor Bauer, the beneficiary of all that run support. He didn't need much, really, outside of Ramirez's home run. He was good as he went 6 scoreless innings, struck out 6. On his night, Trevor said,
"Yeah, I was happy with how I pitched. I think I threw a couple of too many pitches early. The first inning was... I just wasn't quite on in the first inning, so I ran my pitch count a little bit. Would have liked to be able to get through 7. That's been my goal all year, is to get through 7.
All right, when he's happy about his night, we'll leave it at that. We don't need to go any deeper, Trevor. All right, the Tribe and Cubs will wrap up their brief series tonight, 8:05 tonight. Adam Plutko will get the start for the Indians. Now you can hear that game on 100.7 WMMS as the Cavs and Celtics will play Game 5 in Boston, and we'll have that game for you right here. In winning Game 4, the Cavs were able to do that despite the fact they committed 19 turnovers yesterday before the team traveled to Boston. Coach Lou said that cannot happen tonight.
You know, I think taking care of the basketball early, I think having a defensive mindset early, I think will help take the crowd out of the game. I don't think we could turn the basketball over and take 4 shots, have 4 shot selections.
No, that's what really allowed the Celtics to get back into the game four after the Cavs had a 16-point lead after the first quarter. The Celtics think they figured out something. We'll see tonight. Game five, 8:30 tip. We'll have it for you right here. Game six, we know, will be Friday night. That will be at the queue. And think about this. The game five winner of an NBA series tied at two has gone on to win that series 83% of the time. Well, the Warriors and Rockets are now headed to the same situation out west.
Paul, a pull-up three in the air. Good! His third in a row! Rockets by 10. It's a 22-point turnaround.
Well, the Rockets fell behind 10-0, but they recovered with their stars getting it done. James Harden with 30. That was Chris Paul, who had 27. And Houston shocks Golden State 95-92 to level that series at two. The Warriors had a 10-point lead entering the fourth quarter. They were held to 12 points in the fourth. So that series now tied at two, goes back to Houston for a game five tomorrow. And before the Browns acquired Tyrod Taylor, they had talked to the Eagles and had actually offered them the 35th pick in the draft for Super Bowl winning quarterback Nick Foles, but the Eagles passed. Home of the Indians and the Cavs. Mike Snyder, News Radio WTAM 1100.
There's a very substantial chance that it won't work out, and that's okay. That doesn't mean it won't work out over a period of time, but it may not work out for June 12th. But there's a good chance that we'll have the meeting. In the end, it'll work out. Can't tell you exactly how or why, but it always does. It's
President
work
Trump
out.
At the White House as he met with the leader of South Korea. Our Bill Zimfer putting the story together for us. Hey, you know, the date may move a little bit. What's the latest here?
Well, you're getting different views of this whole situation. Good morning, Bill. You heard the president there saying there's a substantial chance it could be put off, at least. Meanwhile, South Korea is sounding a different tone here. Moon Jae-in saying that he's very confident that the president not only will have the summit on June 12th, but will succeed in his efforts. South Korea's national security advisor going even further, saying that he is 99.9% sure that the summit will happen on June 12th. You have differing views of the situation here and how optimistic each party is. The president probably being a little bit wise to say that, hey, you know, we may have to push this back a little bit over the recent developments that North Korea has had a little change in attitude. Also, he took a swipe at Xi Jinping, the president of China, saying again that he may have had a hand in this whole thing, calling him a world-class poker player. This much we do know, Bill, as well. The United States will be sending a delegation off to Singapore this weekend, where they are scheduled to meet with a North Korean delegation to continue preparations. But it has come to light that a similar meeting was scheduled for two weekends ago, and North Korea didn't show. So we'll see what happens this weekend.
Look, this is much more serious than sports, but I was thinking, you know, North Korea in a way is like that free agent. I mean, this is their chance to get all that signing bonus. They got the world stage. Everybody can be talking about him right now, because once you do a deal, you kind of go to the background, don't you?
Well, that's true. Yeah. You know, you're out of the picture. And right now, Kim Jong-un is a world player,
right,
and that's what he wants to be. Yep.
All right, Bill Zimfer with the story this morning. Bill, thanks.
You're welcome, Bill.
Also, President Trump interested in whether or not there was a spy in his campaign.
As you know, the Congress would like to see documents opened up. A lot of people are saying they had spies in my campaign. If they had spies in my campaign, that would be a disgrace to this country. It would make probably every political event ever look like small potatoes.
I love the way Trump words this. Hey, well, you know, just a lot of people are saying this. We need to look into it. And sure enough, today, Republican congressmen will be meeting with representatives of the DOJ to see what they got. Alex Castellanos on that. Alex, this all started over the weekend when the president was tweeting.
He does. Turns out the president's got a couple of extra cell phones he uses to tweet and talk in addition to his presidential communications. So, and of course, we know how effective he's been at going around the news media and communicating unfiltered. But the big news here is that it turns out the FBI or intelligence services may have sent an informant into the Trump campaign. So, who knew there was a Trump campaign? We all thought the president was just running around tweeting and giving speeches, and that was it.
I mean, there was a building, they had meetings, they had some organization, I guess, right?
It's a shocker. We'd never heard of such a thing.
Well, now, look, seriously, this would be a shocker if indeed this is true, right?
It is. And, you know, there's a larger pattern here. The politicization of government. We go back to the Obama administration and see an administration that tapped the phones of reporters, that used the IRS against its political adversaries. We see an Obama administration that interfered in the Israeli election. We see Loretta Lynch, the former attorney general, meeting with Bill Clinton in a secret meeting on a runway while her department's supposed to be investigating Hillary's email. So when you start to connect the dots, Donald Trump is saying, wait a minute, should our law enforcement agencies be used this politically? It was wrong.
He was sent there to shake things up. And, I mean, you know, day after day he's doing it, and Twitter, and we saw that on Sunday. You know, hey, business is closed in D.C., but it's 24/7 with Trump.
I don't know how he juggles this many chainsaws all at once politically, and also keeps the government going. You know, he's still got the June 12th meeting with Kim Jong-un. That's still on the books, though. I think it may be delayed.
Our Alex Castellanos. Thanks, Alex.
Good to be with you.
By the way, Rasmussen daily tracking polls got Trump's approval number among registered voters, likely U.S. voters, at 50% this morning. Congressman Al Green, though, Democrat, says that's all going to change if they get control of the House.
Green, if Democrats take back the House in November, what is the likelihood that Speaker Nancy Pelosi will bring up an impeachment charge?
I'll let Speaker Pelosi address her actions. But here is a point that I think is salient and one that ought to be referenced.
I don't have time for the whole minute and a half he's going to talk here. You can see more at wilsonsnyder.com. Basically, Congressman Al Green says if the Democrats get back into control, they'll indeed impeach Trump no matter what. Rush with more of his take on all this follows the news at noon on WTAM 11. Michael Bauer joins us each morning on a couple of different stories. Following up on Santa Fe and the shooting, it was a week ago Friday, the tragedy. Michael, good morning. You got an interesting angle to this. I want to first mention, I was doing some reading last night, 1,400 students at this school, they were closed for a while because of Hurricane Harvey. In February, they had a day where they actually thought there was a shooter in the school. They were all stressed out about that. It's just been a stressful school year. And then, of course, the shooting last Friday and the death. And now there's kind of an odd thing here involving Russian bots. What'd you find on this?
Really interesting and scary story, Bill, that's becoming a pattern in this all-too-familiar aftermath of school shootings where widespread online misinformation that is designed to cloud the truth or win political points on some level are coming from bots. They're Russian bots, and the Russians are using them extensively to sow divisiveness among Americans. So within hours of that school shooting in Santa Fe, efforts were already out there to use social media to spread disinformation about the shooter and his actions. Within 1 hour of the shooting, Bill, according to the Washington Post, fake Facebook profiles had been created of the shooter, which depicted him as a Hillary Clinton supporter, wearing a Hillary Clinton hat at one point, a part of Antifa, and one particular file had a feature of a banner from the background of President Trump's campaign in 2016. And this is not the first time that this stuff has happened. You can go back to February with Parkland, a video labeling a shooting survivor as a crisis actor whose involvement was faked to boost gun control, soared to the top of YouTube's trending list. So there is vulnerable as Facebook and Twitter are in this kind of misinformation on social media.
And somehow they were able to tie this to Russian servers, I guess?
Yeah, they've got these different websites and servers, and one former national security tracking all this information to Russian troll farms that are using this information to mislead and deepen American political divides.
Interesting. You might see and hear more about that story today. Michael Bauer with
us.
All right, Michael, thank you, pal. Thing too big. 60 Minutes looked into this. I thought it was a big enough story for our Greg Stebbin to look into as well. You can follow him on Twitter, by the way, at Greg Stebbin. You could Google him if you want, find out more. He's at Men's Health, a bunch of other places. Morning, Greg.
Hey, good morning.
There was a time in history that the old Ma Bell was too big, so the government went in and broke it up, made all these mini bells, and they came back and got even bigger. So let's set up the question here about Google, how big Google is, and maybe it's getting too big. Is that a fair question?
I think it's such an interesting, I don't know if it's fair, but it's an interesting question, and it's a question we could easily talk about for a week without sleeping.
Well, I don't have time for that. How did Google get...
Right.
All right. So do we know how big they are, and how did they get this big? I mean, they are a huge company making money off of just information.
I'll give you one statistic alone that will just stun you. Last year, Google conducted 90% of all internet searches in the world.
Wow.
So that's all of them, basically.
Exactly. Anything people looked up, they
Googled. And, right, and that's not the only thing Google does. Because that doesn't include all the times you picked up your phone and used Google. If you have an Android phone, that's all the time. If you have an iPhone, it's still a lot. They also own YouTube, which is the largest video platform in the world. They also own a company called DoubleClick that they bought, gosh, 15 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And it is a company that distributes much of the world's digital advertising. So Google knows everything about everybody and everything. And so when you ask the question, as CBS and 60 Minutes did, does Google know too much? How did it get so big? Is it right for it to be so big? Part of that's legal questions.
Right.
You make a good analogy with the analogy to AT&T.
Mm-hmm.
But it is important for us as consumers to just stop and realize how big Google is and how much it knows about you.
When you sent me this topic, I actually Googled Google to start reading some things. And some of the different posts were interesting in that all the different conspiracy theories, including, if I got this right, they changed their motto, the word evil or don't be evil. Do you know anything about that?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
So it's not a rumor, by the way. It's a fact. I'm looking at the pages. So until a few weeks ago, and for many, many years, famously, Google's company code of conduct began with the words, don't be evil. I'm looking at it. I mean, there's no rumor to this.
Okay.
They just changed it in the last few weeks. And by the way, I'm not saying that there's anything evil about what they did.
Right.
But they removed the phrase, don't be evil. The code of conduct used to start with those three words. Now at the end of this very lengthy document, it says, and remember, don't be evil.
Ooh,
but it's not their motto anymore.
Ooh, it's at the end.
So
okay.
There's a lot of reasons why they might have done this, a lot of legitimate business reasons. I suggest, for instance, that in the face of all the things that has happened with Facebook, there are going to be more and more stories like this about Google, and you don't want "don't be evil," your company's motto, to be the first thing people sling at you when they start to point at things that they propose are evil. So to some degree, it may have been a PR move. There may have been other reasons. Google has had some dramatic changes. But and I'm not saying they're good or bad. I'm just saying as consumers, caveat emptor, let the consumer beware. We should know how much they know about each of us.
Another minute with Greg Stebbins. Speaking of people knowing and the web, you touched on Facebook, but Amazon, Apple, Microsoft, I mean, they're huge as well. I mean, you might argue they do different business models, but they're still big as well, right?
Oh, and that's what's so fascinating is if you just take Google, Facebook, and Amazon, they all have very different models for what they do. But they all know incredible amounts of information about each of us, and they only want to know more. That's why if you take Amazon, why does Amazon keep rolling out more and more services? Because they want to have more and more information about you. Now, unlike Google, one of the main ways Amazon monetizes that is by helping you buy more stuff from Amazon. That's not exactly the Google model, and the Facebook model is something completely different. But these three companies, it's staggering the degree to which they have their tentacles wrapped around the details of our lives.
The amount of economy that runs through them. All right, interesting. Greg Stebbins, follow him on Twitter or Google him if you want, at Greg Stebbins. You can follow him there. Posts at Men's Health, a bunch of other places. Interesting stuff. Greg, thanks, partner. Have a great day.
You bet. It's great to be here.
Berea, the spot to have some fun this weekend. Candace in studio to talk about it. What do we have going on?
Good morning, Bill. I almost had my voice back until I went to that Cavs game Monday night.
Yep.
Oh, man. Go Cavs.
Go Cavs.
Exciting stuff.
Okay, Berea National Rib Cook-Off.
Yes, Bill, we are back for our 20th annual Berea's National Rib Cook-Off. Gates open at 12 noon on Friday at the Cuyahoga County Fairgrounds.
Okay.
We're open till 11 o'clock, and Saturday and Sunday, 11 to 11. And on Monday of Memorial Day, we are open 11 to 7. It's going to be a great time with over 14 rib teams competing for best ribs, best sauce, and the People's Choice Awards, Bill.
All right. How much to get in?
Just five. It's actually free till 5 o'clock on Friday,
okay.
And then five after five on Friday, and then $5 just Saturday, Sunday, and Monday.
All right. Can I be entertained?
You can be entertained, Bill, and you are a music guy, and we're really excited to have a lot of our old favorites back this year. Whether it's the Clayton Brothers, Cruisin', Disco Inferno, Haywire, Saturday, a lot of good country music with Gary West, the Stickers, the Caliber Band. We got the Chardon Polka Band and Seven Nations, and all the entertainment lineup and everything going on, Bill, is at BereaRib.com.
And the fairgrounds is the spot then, right?
The fairgrounds is the spot, Bill, and we got something new this year. In celebration of our 20th annual Berea's National Rib Cook-Off, we are expanding our activities for families, especially the younger kids, with an addition of a few amusement park rides this year. You combine that with the rock climbing wall, the bungee swings, face painting, and kids eating ribs. It makes for a great holiday weekend, Bill, and a safe picnic-style family atmosphere.
Beautiful. All right, it kicks off Friday. What time again?
It kicks off at 12 noon on Friday, Bill. And a big hello to you from Dan Tuck from the Cleveland Corvette Club. They are replacing Bike Night this year, and they will be there on Friday starting at 3 till dusk. And they're celebrating their 61st anniversary here in Cleveland, and they'll have 40 beautiful cars represented on Friday.
The Corvette Club has helped us out many times with different events. They are some fun people with a passion for those rides, and they are great to watch. And
he sent a big shout out to you, Bill.
Yeah, good stuff. All right, Berea's Rib Cook-Off, the website for more?
Yes, BereaRib.com.
Beautiful. Candace, thank you.
Thank you, Bill.
How are you, sir?
I'm doing good, Bill. How are you?
Got them mowers out, buddy?
Oh, you know, it's that time. Grass is growing high.
Grass growing high. You got to get that get that stuff cut around them signs.
I get a lot of complaints.
No, get out of here. You? Never. Never, never, never.
Exactly.
Fine Mayor Warrensville Heights. I met a buddy for lunch at Shaker Square last Thursday. Uh-huh. I think I drove through Warrensville Heights four times getting to Shaker Square, right? Right, Mayor?
That's right. We like you to come on through.
I mean, I'm...
Did you drop some cash there in Warrensville?
You know, we're going to get to that next.
I filled up. Don't worry. I filled up. I left you a little. All right, guys, let's get to it. Cavs, Celtics, we got us a game five. Houston, reminded us it can be done on the road. Right, Brent?
Oh, absolutely. I think the way Houston played last night, and well, here, the way we played in the last two games, I hope we can carry that through to tonight's game against the Celtics. It's going to be tough. I think that's the game that we need to get.
Brad, you look at the Cavs and the adjustments they have made. They've moved the ball a lot better. There's no question about that. But the big guys, I know you talk a lot about it, having a big guy on the floor. And with Tristan Thompson and Larry Nance Jr.'s arrival, I guess I should say, that has made a difference, hasn't it?
Well, it has. I think that the insertion of Tristan and Larry Nance back into the lineup and rotation allows us to balance out Boston's forwards across the board. So we've been better in the last two games. We need that same energy. And I give Coach Lou credit because he's gotten back to people who can just play, you know, people that really want to play. And that has been Tristan, has been Larry, has been Kyle. Obviously, everybody's hit the floor for us in the last two-game rotation. I really wanted to be on the floor.
You know, Brad, you get to this time of year, and you're just looking for, as the slogan says, whatever it takes. I think Kyle Korver was a great example of that the other day. Kyle Korver, we're talking about three block shots. Brad, that's not supposed to happen, right?
Listen, three block shots, the diving on the floor for loose balls, making plays defensively. So these are the things that need to be done. This series is going to be won game by game. So we took care of business in the last two. We hope that we can come out tonight with that same tenacity in a very hostile environment, Mike, and make headway tonight.
Well, Brad, there's a lot of speculation that Brad Stevens may make a few changes, maybe even go to a smaller lineup to try to disturb what the Cavs have going with Kevin Love and Tristan Thompson on the floor. What are you expecting from Boston tonight?
Well, he's going to obviously make some adjustments. He obviously has seen some things in the last two games they didn't like. But I would tell you, if he went small, that's going to be to our advantage because I will tell you what, we can go small too. And our small, I'll play your small. The other thing is that they don't have an answer for LeBron James. I don't think anybody in the NBA has figured out a way to contain him in the playoffs. And when he's playing like that, Mike, downhill, it is a force to be reckoned with. He puts 40-plus on the board the other night, and he's capable of doing that just about every night, I guess, especially against this competition.
Why do I feel so much better about this series, Mayor? Well, I mean, after the first two losses, every Cavs fan, head was down, oh, here we go again.
We were doing, Mike, I mean, Bill, we're doing it the Cleveland way, right? So we're going to do it the hard way, and sometimes when we do it the hard way and the long way, it takes us that route. Now, after the last two, I think the spirits of the city have been picked up again. We think we have a chance. It's a three-game series, Bill. And I say, as a guy who's lost to Boston, up in Boston in the playoffs, this is the game to have tonight. If we're going to make a stand, this is the game that we got to get.
Get it tonight. All right, Brad Sellers, thanks, partner.
All right, thanks, guys.
Be good, buddy. You could be at the Q tonight, too. Follow the wine and gold at the Q. The three-time defending Eastern Conference champ Cavaliers back in Boston tonight for Game 5. The 2018 Cavs playoffs presented by Discount Drug Mart. The series continues, and the Q watch party tonight. Mike Snyder, these have been a blast, haven't they?
And now it should be ramped up tonight. It'll be rocking there. They are fun as they put on the show. Hopefully the Cavs make it fun on the floor. And history says what Brad just said. Well, it's not over if you don't win this one tonight, but 83% of the time, the team that wins Game 5 in a 2-2 series has gone on to win that series.
Cavs.com/tickets, $5. Proceeds benefit local charities, and that'll be at the Q. If you're going there tonight, have us on the way. Cavs Now with Nick Camino, live from the watch party at 6 on News Radio WTAM 1100.
$3,000 over Kelley Blue Book, and you'll be saying, hello, Mitsubishi. So this month, brand new, special purchase, Outlander Sport, $5 down, $239 a month, $17,500 with remote start, with a lifetime warranty, or take advantage of the 0%. Come to Sims Mitsubishi in Medina, Route 18 and I-71, 330-722-8000.
$239 a month, 84 months, 0.9%. Stock number 171-56. 0% in lieu of rebates.
News you can use. News about your money.
This is a Bloomberg Market Minute. Stock index futures indicate a lower Wall Street open as investors eye geopolitical concerns. S&P futures down 20 points, NASDAQ futures down 75, Dow futures lower by 205. NYMEX crude oil is lower by 0.7% at $71.71 a barrel. Shares of Tiffany are higher in pre-market trading, up about 12%. The jeweler's revamp is beginning to pay off. It posted strong sales growth in the latest quarter and raised its profit forecast for the year. Target is down 6.25%. Its investments to compete with Amazon are taking a toll. The latest quarterly earnings missed estimates, even though online sales surged. Target CEO Brian Cornell has made e-commerce a key part of his $7 billion turnaround plan, and earlier this month cut some next-day delivery fees almost in half to lure customers from Amazon and Walmart. Gina Cervetti, Bloomberg Radio.
Hi, I'm Rex Stefanski, Chairman and CEO of Third Federal. And this year, we're proud to be celebrating our 80th anniversary. So, if you're thinking about buying a home, listen up. Now is the time to sign up for Third Federal's new early pre-approval. With early pre-approval, you get a fully underwritten loan approval before you start looking for a house. Well, wait a minute, this is a real approval, so let's just call it that. Folks, early approval locks in your rate now, at the beginning of the home buying season, before rates go up. And early approval is good for a full 6 months. And best of all, sign up now, and when you do find your house, we pay all of your closing costs, so you save thousands. But to get these benefits, you have to be early. It's easy to sign up, and there's no cost to apply. So don't wait. Call 1-800-3rd-FED.
We had such a great response, we are extending early approval through May 31st. Lock in your rate now, even before you find a house, with Third Federal's new early approval. Rate lock renews automatically to current rate after 60 days or any time upon request. Zero closing costs on low-cost mortgages. Equal housing lender.
Hi, it's Bill Wills for Klaibin Lincoln. Spent some time with Rich Klaibin the other day talking about the Lincoln product. Just absolutely amazing. I mean, the Navigator is just, it's turning heads. It is so popular right now. Lincoln has truly redefined luxury in all the different models. Elegant design, innovative technology, effortless performance, exceptional driving experience. You compare in the luxury models right now, Lincoln gives you more for less. What great value. Find out more. You can start at KlaibinLincoln.com. See the online reviews, too, from other people that drive Lincolns from Klaibin. Klaibin is your exclusive Lincoln dealer in Portage and Summit counties. I love the MKZ I drive. Klaibin Ford Lincoln, Route 59 in Kent. Your traffic and weather on the 10s, mornings and afternoons from WTAM 1100. Pat Butler, be sure to get a Sugardale hot dog.
I had two.
I thought you did already. Typically, the staff is fed before I am.
Sorry about that.
No, you got to feed the help first. I mean, that's just what you do. We got our friends from the Indians are in. We've got Bacon in. Have you met Bacon yet this morning?
I did meet Bacon.
Okay. All right.
Bacon stopped by the traffic center.
Got some pictures of Bacon we just tweeted. Your traffic and weather on the 10s, mornings and afternoons. Here is Pat Butler.
From the Elk and Elk Traffic Center, if you're a victim of the Chili's data breach, call 1-800-ELK-OHIO. Highway's getting a little bit better for you. There's still an accident downtown on the Interbelt, though, on 90 East before Ontario. 71 North is just heavy approaching the bridge. Jennings North heavy from Harvard. 77 North still slow from Grant on up. There's a brand new crash reported on the east side on Chagrin, just west of Richmond. This report is brought to you by Quaker City Motorsports Park in Salem. Next traffic update in 9 minutes at 8:50. Pat Butler, News Radio, WTAM 1100, Total Traffic.
Friday through Sunday, May 25th to 27th, Quaker City Motorsports Park presents the Nostalgia Classic Weekend with funny cars, dragsters, and more. It's racing and entertainment at Quaker City Motorsports Park in Salem. Memorial Day weekend. Visit QuakerCityMotorsportsPark.com.
Your Cleveland Weather Channel 3 forecast from meteorologist Holly Strano. Clouds will move out. Sunshine for the afternoon, 73. Sunny, beautiful tomorrow, 80 and mid-80s on Friday. 54 right now at your severe weather station. News Radio, WTAM, 1100. Let's get right to it. We got to talk some drive here. News Radio, WTAM, 1100. Bill Wills, Mike Snyder alongside. Curtis Danberg from the Indians front office is alongside as well. Hi, Curtis.
Good morning.
And a official welcome to Bacon. I heard rumblings this morning
sizzling.
Early on. I told Snyder about 6 o'clock.
The rumors were sizzling then.
I asked you at 6, had you heard anything?
Yeah.
You said no.
No, I hadn't.
And I confirmed within 10 minutes that they were adding a mascot.
Yeah.
And it is Sugardale and it is Bacon, and we're meeting Bacon this morning.
Yeah, so Sugardale launched Bacon on a Stick at Progressive Field this year, so they wanted, what better way to tie that in to unveil their very own mascot, which is Bacon.
Bacon's on board. Bacon's been with us today. It's a pleasure to meet Bacon.
So will Bacon,
we love Bacon.
When will we see Bacon?
Yes.
Will it be in the races?
And Bacon will appear during the Hot Dog Derby, Sugardale Hot Dog Derby, throughout the season, pick some spots. The debut, ballpark debut, this Saturday.
Mm. Oh, all right.
Now, so, watch out for the shenanigans of Bacon and Slider.
Well, I've already seen a few shenanigans from Bacon this morning.
Yes.
If you follow me on Twitter, at Bill Wills, WTAM, I just tweeted... officially, Bacon in studio with us, and we'll put it up on Facebook as well. Snyder, you had a great line about the picture we took with Bacon.
Our picture, yes. Bacon and a couple of good eggs.
That's a funny line.
You like that?
Insert laugh track here. Go ahead. Ding, ding, got it.
Well. No, Scooter liked it.
So
that probably says a lot.
It was excellent. It's up on Facebook. You will love it. Now, this is a big announcement with Sugardale, longtime Indians partner. And tell me about the hot dogs we're having this morning, too.
Yeah, so out in right field by Section 117, right near the corner bar, everybody hears about Slider Burgers. Well, we have Slider Dogs. So these are mini hot dogs.
Oh, they're good.
They come in a 3-pack, and you can do the chili cheese. We brought three little pigs, which is bacon and cheese.
We've got an onion hot dog, and we've got, of course,
the naked dog.
Oh, they're good.
Yeah.
Absolutely delicious. Fantastic.
And it's also, of course, obviously Friday night, Sugardale Dollar Dog. So hot dogs and bacon coming from all angles.
Hot dogs, bacon, baseball, it's all good.
We got a huge weekend. It starts tomorrow night with Houston. Now, with that in mind, let me, if I got this right, and you got to plan your weekend, and I would get your tickets in advance because we're going to have some sellouts, but the Indians are kind enough to waive the ticket fees for weekend games, but you got to buy those today, right?
By midnight tonight, go to Indians.com for this weekend's games, and you will not pay any online fees. So great savings in that regard. People always talk about that being a barrier to purchasing tickets, so we took that barrier away. Go on to Indians.com until midnight tonight to purchase your tickets for this weekend and not pay any online fees.
Houston tomorrow night, 6:10, 7, then 7:10 on Friday. Saturday's a 7:15. Sunday afternoon, a 1:15. Now, I am wearing the Terry Francona 1988 jersey, courtesy of Sugardale. Now, but first on Friday is Sugardale Dollar Dog Night. There's fireworks and a big night that night, right? Block party, everything.
First fireworks show of the year. We're going to have Songs of Summer. Again, we always talk about Progressive Field being the home for all Clevelanders. It's the summer home. So we're going to be launching the fireworks Friday night. Saturday, we've got Pyro Band fireworks. You mentioned the Terry Francona jersey, courtesy of Sugardale.
Well, let's not just drive. You fly by that. I'm wearing one.
And both.
Me too.
Snides and Wills.
And you'll see it in the picture.
Yeah.
By the way, they sent me a medium, but that's okay.
Well, mine, I think that explains mine. It's a medium.
But Curtis, I mean, come on.
It looks good.
How does it look?
You look great. Let's play, too.
Would Francona look? What do you think Terry would look in? This is the 1988 jersey he wore.
That's he wore right there.
It's a classic.
12,500
I'm doing
fans.
My Bartolo Colon invitation in mine.
So check that out. You get these on Saturday, right?
Correct. And the other cool thing we're doing on Saturday to commemorate Terry's dad, Tito, we're going to have a celebration of his career and life, and we're going to do a pregame ceremony, and the players you're going to see will wear this patch on their left chest above on the uniform. So great way. That's kind of how Terry wanted to do it. He didn't want to wear a patch all season long. He wanted to identify one game, which we're going to do this Saturday.
Okay. Very good.
Excellent. Then Monday, Memorial Day.
Corey Kluber bobblehead. 15,000 fans will get that, and showcasing both Cy Youngs.
Indians.com. Get all your ticket info. All right, hang on. Let's work a couple of the sports notes in. We'll talk about last night's win in Chicago. Sports mornings at 15 and 45 past. Mike Snyder.
All right, Bill, the Cavs and Celtics game 5 in Boston tonight. We'll have it for you right here, 8:30 tip. The Cavs try to take command of the series. We know game 6 will be Friday night at the Q. Last night out west, it was Houston taking care of business at Golden State, 95-92. So that series is tied at 2. The Tribe, a 10-1 winner last night, as I mentioned tonight. Adam Plutko gets the start, 8:05 first pitch. You can hear that game on 100.7 WMMS.
It is Total Tribe coverage. Tom Hamilton's in Chicago. I've got Curtis Danberg and Bacon here, Tom. I mean, this is just a...
Hammy's favorite food.
It's a huge morning when you beat the Cubs. And we want to make sure we celebrate.
We're celebrating
today.
Here.
We're celebrating big time.
That's right.
Big time, Tom. Hey,
go ahead. Curly always said you gotta have breakfast or bacon with every meal, so it was good enough for him.
Well, I keep telling Curtis, Dan Miley's going to cover chocolate on this thing if they don't keep moving, so there'll be a chocolate covered bacon, too, because he covers everything in bacon. All right, everything in chocolate. Now, 10-1 win last night. Hammy, I want to start with Kipnis, though, because you spent some time with Terry on one of the pregame shows on how much work he's been putting in and hitting, and finally good to see him get some hits, too, recently, right?
Yeah, just it seems like he's been in one of those stretches, Bill, when he does hit a ball well. He did it in Detroit, and he did it in Houston in a couple of games where there are home runs to center field and any other park, but not in those two ballparks. And that's how it is when you're not, hitting the way you want, or you're not putting up the numbers that you want. Then when you do really square a ball up, you're not rewarded. And that's when players get in trouble, because now maybe they try to alter the swing a little bit because they feel like, oh, now I've got to do a little bit more because even that wasn't good enough. And then pretty soon you're just spinning. So, it's not for lack of effort on the part of Kipnis. And, he got a big two-out, two-run single last night. And he's been pressing. There's no question about it. And, he knows what he did last year when he wasn't healthy. He's healthy this year, but he also, he heard all the trade rumors. He was pretty cognizant of what was going on during the off season, so he came to spring training with a chip on his shoulder, and unfortunately just hasn't gotten on that roll yet that he's capable of. But that's when this club takes off, not only with the bullpen, but when you get a 1-9 approach, and that's what the Indians have been lacking.
Okay, speaking of gambling, Rob Walgate sent me a note yesterday that the language to have Ohio gamble on sports, now that the Supreme Court says we can, we think is already in there. Now, Rob has worked a lot on different issues around the state and with me on the hotline now. Hi, Rob.
Good morning.
When this story, when the court said, okay, you can vote on sports gambling besides Nevada, right away there were states like West Virginia said, we're ready to roll. Mike DeWine, our attorney general, who also wants to be governor, I heard him say, well, we got to debate it and we got to have the legislation written. Under your impression, though, the language is already there. Explain this to me.
I think the 4 casinos in Ohio could have sports gambling tomorrow, and here's why. When you look back at the 2009 constitutional amendment that Ohio passed, we have to look at the words, and words matter. Words don't mean what they think they mean. They mean however they are defined in law. And what I mean by that is they define slot machine as any mechanical, electrical, or other device or machine which, and it talks about taking money. It's basically a computer. That's how they define slot machine. And they also define casino gaming as any slot machine or table game wagering that is legal in the states of Indiana, Michigan, Pennsylvania, and West Virginia, or is authorized in the future by those states. West Virginia and Pennsylvania have already passed
language, legislation to allow sports gambling. Therefore, based on that 2009 constitutional amendment, I believe they could set up machines that could take sports gambling in those four casinos tomorrow, and they have the Ohio Constitution as their backdrop and defense.
Without Columbus doing anything?
Without Columbus doing anything. When you read the language of the constitutional amendment, they wrote this so vague. They wrote this to their advantage, and they wrote it that the laws could change based upon what neighboring states do. So when we think of slot machine, I know many people think of maybe what you pull down or the way it looked back in the day. But the way it's defined in the Ohio Constitution, it's basically set up to be a computer. That's how it's defined. And when they define casino gaming, same thing. It's what the other states have authorized. So I think they could do it tomorrow. I think they could defend it by saying the Ohio Constitution. And I'll tell you what, the Ohio legislature could do nothing to impact the constitutional language. That can only be changed by a vote of the people. This is why when we put things in the Ohio Constitution, it's very important we know what every word says.
Rob Walgate at the Public Square. We've also posted this language, if you follow me on Twitter, at Bill Wells, WTAM. Okay, have you gotten this out yet? Any pushback? Any other reaction?
Well, it makes people nervous. There's people scratching their head and looking at the law and realizing what it actually means. And what it's going to take is someone to push the envelope. And I think if one of the four casinos, if Dan Gilbert or Penn National or someone else steps up and says, we're going to put this in one of our locations and see what happens, I think they could defend it. I'm not saying I'm for it. What I'm saying is they have the Constitution. They wrote the language, and I think it's going to make a lot of people nervous. And it's clear the gambling industry is one of the strongest lobbying industries in the country. So they also have control of the legislature, and they have a major influence on the court. So it's going to be interesting to see how it plays out. But I think when you look at the constitutional language, they could do it immediately.
Rob Walgate, thanks for bringing it to our attention. Thank you.
Thanks.
Take care, buddy.